about Hate Street. This is FieldPod.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from rainy, rainy San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of March. On this date, in 238, Gordian I and Gordian II both become Emperor of Rome, a reign which lasts 3 weeks, 21 days. Things getting complicated in the late empire, as we well know. 1738, Persian leader Nader Shah sacks Delhi, killing somewhere between 20 and 30,000 Indians while on an expedition into the Mughal Empire, accompanied by his subject and the future king of eastern Georgia, Erekle Maore, the one who would later cut the deal with the Russian crown. 1829, Britain, France, and Russia decide on the borders for the newly independent state of Greece in the Second London Protocol following the Greek War of Independence from the Ottoman Empire. 1916, Yuan Shikai, the last emperor of China, abdicates the throne. 1922, Armenians in the town of Shusha in Nagorno-Karabakh attempt to revolt against Azerbaijani rule. They fail, and over the next few days, Azerbaijani troops and residents of both the Armenian part of town burn the Armenian part of town and kill an unknown number of Armenian residents. Estimates range from 500 to 30,000, but it was lots. Memory of those events loomed large in 1988 when the Armenian Karabakh independence vote encouraged Eastern Europe to throw off the Soviet yoke and the whole house of cards came down. 1945, the Arab League is founded by the Kingdom of Egypt, Kingdom of Iraq, Transjordan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and Syria. 1992, the opposition Democratic Party wins the Albanian elections, ending 46 years of communist rule. Birthdays today are Timurad Sultan, astronomer, mathematician, Uleg Beg in 1394, Japanese artist Kayoi Kasama in 1929, the first president of Iran, Abul Hassan Bani Sadr in 1933, and Pete Sessions, the Republican member of Congress for Dallas, who will lose to Colin Allred on Tuesday, the 6th of November, 2018. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Nearly a month after his death in South Ossetia in custody, the body of Georgian citizen Archil Tatunashvili has been returned to Georgia via the Red Cross. Returned with the body were the results of an independent forensic examination conducted by Russia. The Georgian National Forensics Bureau investigated the body before returning it to Tatunashvili's family. According to people present at the examination, his body was covered with blunt injuries, scratches, and bruises, indicating likely torture. Each reports that he was missing a finger. Early reports that he was missing a finger appeared to have been untrue. They also said that there was evidence that the Russian South Ossetian examinations had been conducted in a way so as to hide any evidence of torture. South Ossetian authorities said that the Russian examination had found light bruises, hematomas, and scratches that could be considered as the cause of death. The ultranationalist group March of Georgians rallied outside of Rustaviori on the 19th of March. One Rustaviori journalist, David Eradze, was briefly hospitalized. Six protesters were arrested. Five protesters will be charged with group hooliganism, with a possible penalty of up to 5 years in prison. The protest came after Rustaviori TV host Gheorghe Gabunia said during his show this week that, quote, "Jesus Christ made a big mistake when he chose Israel for preaching. He should have chosen to come to Ajada in about 2 or 3 years' time. He would not be crucified then, since there would be no wood left in the region," end quote, referring to Bidzina's penchant for removing large trees from Ajada and putting them on his own property. About two dozen protesters blocked Kabunia's car from accessing the building, threatened him, and demanded that he apologize for insulting their religion. Eradze was injured when he and other Rustaviori staff came to try and help Gabunia. Rustaviori lawyer Tamta Muradashvili escaped from the protests. Rustaviori has apologized for unintentionally hurting the feelings of religious viewers, and their Council of Ethics has reprimanded Gabunia. Rustaviori's director also said that they were under attack by forces directed and financed from Russia and called for a criminal investigation. Gabunia himself has not apologized for his statement, and March of Georgians say that they will paralyze Rustaviori until he does. A number of opposition parties and NGOs, including the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, condemned March of Georgians for violence and interfering with journalistic activities. Their statement originally included praise for Roustavioti reprimanding Gabunia, but this section was later removed and acknowledged as a mistake. Another group of NGOs under the name No to Phobia released a statement stressing the importance of freedom of expression. The Georgian Patriarchate condemned Roustavioti, saying that the statement was a challenge to society with its brazen, sarcastic, and cynical nature, and that we cannot support violence, but at the same time we call for strict reaction from the government so that believers do not have a feeling of injustice and insecurity. Not sure what in the statement would cause insecurity. Also included in the Patriarchate statement was a confirmation of Georgian condemnation of Georgian condom brand Aissa, which features Queen Tamar, who is considered a saint by the church. On some of its packaging, this was provided as an example of how insulting religious feelings and profanity has intensified lately. This is very much from the Kremlin and U.S. fundamentalist Christian, as well as political Islam playbook, of saying that any non-reverential statement related to a past religious figure is exaggerated into being considered an insult to their religion in order to have an excuse to incite division. Seems to work everywhere for gullible believers with something to prove. The vast majority of believers don't seem to care very much, but those that are looking to be incited to division seem to it works on them every time. Activist and head of Roustavi's civil development agency, Ziad Devdariani, has been accused of sexually harassing women. Public defender Nino Lomjaria announced that she was opening an investigation into the case and that she has already met with the accusers. 3 days before her announcement of the investigation, Lomjaria had nominated Devdariani for the Georgian Public Broadcaster's Board of Trustees. The next day, the Georgian Women's Movement released a statement saying that at least 10 anonymous women had accused Devdariani of sexual harassment. He's accused of groping women, making lewd remarks, and offering to hire someone in exchange for sexual favors. The statement also said Ziad Devdariani is a well-known women's rights defender, and it seems his dual standards and his well-masked personality was the very reason why women sexually harassed by him failed to find faith and strength to fight for their rights. Devdariani denies the accusation and claims he's being blackmailed by women's groups, but he also withdrew his candidacy for the board. A group of 27 current and former civil development agency staff released a statement in support of Devdariani. A ski lift crash with a video that went all over the place in Gudauri this week injured 11 people. One Ukrainian citizen was seriously injured and flown to Tbilisi. A pregnant Swiss woman was also hospitalized. The lift was inspected in December, but the brake system appears to have failed. Inspectors are now determining the cause of the crash, which comes as Georgian officials have been positioning the country as a potential host of the future Winter Olympics. As part of Georgia's continued effort to reassure EU partners concerning visa abuse, Georgia will increase police cooperation in organized crime with Sweden. The two countries also announced convict repatriation agreement that was initiated with Interior Minister Georgi Gajaria in Stockholm last week. The deal should be signed in 2 months. Gajaria met with the Swedish Interior, Home Affairs, and Justice Ministers on his trip. Before his trip to Sweden, Gajaria visited the Europol headquarters at The Hague, where he signed a memorandum of understanding on secure communication between Europol and the Interior Ministry and liaison agreement that will bring a Georgian liaison officer to the Europol headquarters. Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze met with the foreign minister of Iran, Azerbaijan, and Turkey in Baku last week at the first of what will be regular meetings between the four. They're hoping to increase cooperation in a number of different areas, but are especially focused on transit links like the Southwest route that would connect Iranian ports in the Persian Gulf to the Baku-Tbilisi-Kars railway. The president of the House of Representatives of Cyprus, Dimitrios Siluris, visited Tbilisi this week, where he met with Parliamentary Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze, President Mark Velashvili, and Foreign Minister Janelidze. Uzbek President Shavkat Mirziyoyev may visit Georgia in the near future. He's expected to visit Azerbaijan It's thought that he will also come to Tbilisi. Uzbekistan is interested in supplying natural gas to the southern gas corridor that goes through both countries as the country tries to diversify its energy exports. They also may be looking to export other goods via the Baku-Tbilisi-Kars railway. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg mentioned Georgia after releasing the NATO annual report 2017. He said NATO was impressed by the reforms Georgia had implemented and by Georgia's attempts at dialogue with Russia, and that NATO recognizes Georgia's progress and contributions to NATO operations, particularly in Afghanistan. 12 opposition parties, including the United National Movement and European Georgia, released a statement last week condemning Prime Minister Kvitikashvili's appeal to Russia in the wake of the death of Archil Tatunashvili in South Ossetia. They called it a demonstration of the harmful foreign policy pursued by the Georgian Dream Party and the country's informal ruler, Bidzina Ivanishvili, and said that Kvitikashvili's comments about direct dialogue damage possibilities for future reunification by recognizing anyone other than Russia as the occupying force in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. They also called for a parliamentary debate with Kvitikashvili, a parliamentary resolution on human rights violations in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and an increased interior ministry and state security activity near the occupation line. U.S. Ambassador Ian Kelly, on the other hand, supported Kvitikashvili's statement, saying that of course Georgia should have official contact with civil authorities in Abkhazia, especially in the context of 10 years and no progress. Kelly's scheduled to leave his position in Georgia at the end of the month. On the 21st, Parliament announced a joint resolution condemning human rights violations in South Ossetia and Abkhazia. The resolution combines elements of drafts submitted by Otsneva and European Georgia. The resolution will create the Otkhozoria Tatunashvili sanctions list and restrictions for people responsible for human rights abuses in South Ossetia and Abkhazia. It will also stress Russian responsibility for the regions. People on the list will face visa restrictions and bans on financial transactions, but a European Georgia proposal to restrict them from receiving state benefits was removed from the final draft, a little bit bizarrely. United National Movement MPs skipped the vote because they believe the sanctions would have no effect, while Alliance of Patriots MPs skipped the vote because they believe the resolution would hamper dialogue possibilities with their masters in the Kremlin. Russian citizens in Abkhazia and South Ossetia went to 33 polling stations on the 18th, and 90% of them seem to have voted for Vladimir Putin. At least that's what was reported. In 2012, there were 125,500 eligible voters in the two regions, including dual citizens and members of the Russian military stationed there. Georgian Ministry of Foreign Affairs called the elections yet another step towards Abkhazia and South Ossetia's factual annexation by the Russian Federation. South Ossetian journalist and activist Tamara Merakazishvili is facing new criminal charges, this time for forgery. She was not told what she was accused of forging and refused to be questioned without knowing what she had been accused of. She has previously been arrested and harassed for working with the EUMM, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and for participating in peace-building efforts in Tbilisi. Son of former Tbilisi Sakharbulo member Zurab Neparidze claims that the prosecutor in the case is blackmailing and threatening the family with compromising video of Neparidze. Neparidze was arrested on corruption charges last year after purportedly demanding a portion of an employee's salary. The prosecutor, Beka Eziashvili, denies any wrongdoing. On the 14th International Day of Action Against Dams and for Rivers, Water, and Life, over 100 people protested in front of the office of the Asian Investment Bank and European Investment Bank over dam construction and funding in their communities. Protesters included members of Tbilisi-based environmental organizations, activists from Svaneti protesting the Neskra hydropower plant and dam project, and opponents of a series of hydropower plants in Racha. A U.S. Navy ship was docked in Batumi this week on its way to participate in Romanian Black Sea military exercises. They also participated in exercises with the Georgian Coast Guard. 15 of 28 members of the Borjomi Sakharbulo have appealed to impeach their council head, the Alliance of Patriots Zaza Chachanidze. The Borjomi Sakharbulo is the only one in the country not controlled by Otsneva, and 13 of the 15 hoping to impeach him are Otsneva members. The other two are from Chachanidze's own party. There's an ongoing dispute between the Sakharbulo and the mayor's office over pay that they hope will be solved by replacing the council head. The possible impeachment will be voted on March 28th. 15 votes are required for impeachment. Georgia's Azerbaijani communities celebrated Nowruz this Wednesday with a large festival in Barnauli and smaller celebrations elsewhere. The president and prime minister were scheduled to attend the Barnauli festivities but canceled to deal with the transfer of Archil Tatunashvili's body. German economic team Georgia released an annual report on the Georgian banking sector. They noted that increased efficiency and declining lending margins indicated effective competition, credit is accessible, and the banks have effectively withstood fluctuating exchange rates. Importantly, they suggest that the government improve laws regarding corporate governance. OC Media wrote about, this is stuff to read, OC Media wrote about how life in Roma communities are changing. For example, they have not had a traditional leader or baron since independence and don't seem to want one. Additionally, most Georgian Roma have abandoned nomadism, and more Roma are marrying outside of the community, which has also resulted in decreasing use of the Roma language. Liberali published a 25-minute-long video about a mosque or church dispute in Mocha, Samska Javacheti. Local Muslims believe a ruin there is a former mosque, while local Christians say the mosque was built out of the stones of an old church. A government commission failed to solve the dispute, declaring it an ambiguous cultural heritage site and building a new mosque elsewhere in the village. Today, a group of men still meets up regularly to pray outside the chain-link fence surrounding the building, a protest and a religious tradition at the same time. BBC's Michael Portillo rode the train from Batumi to Baku as part of the Great Continental Railway Journey series. He takes the long way, stopping to drink Georgian wine, and forsakes his train for a Kazbegi helicopter ride. Watch for free, probably, at least, in March. OC Media has published a piece by a rape victim talking about her experience and the way police treated her afterwards, initially not believing her and saying that she didn't look like a good girl and that she was and then that she probably wouldn't want to have to deal with the investigation process. According to the writer, in Georgian culture, a victim is more disgraced than the rapist, and that makes her angry and has encouraged her to share her story. Chaihana published a photo essay about the lives of Georgian 20-somethings and their pursuit of privacy and independence in a sometimes suffocating traditional family structure. It's hard for male children to move out and nearly impossible for female ones. And if they do succeed, there's a constant stream of calls and checkups from concerned family members who don't quite understand why someone would want to move out, even if they're 28 years old. All this stuff to read is posted in our forum. This week's dive bar number is 35, the number of square meters of the gift shop at the Gori Stalin State Museum. On Friday the 23rd at 3 p.m., here's an announcement. Friday the 23rd at 3 p.m., Grigol Gagelia will lecture on humanism and Machiavelli at the National Gallery as part of the ongoing lecture series accompanying the Michelangelo exhibition currently on display. Saturday the 24th, the Ministry of Environment Protection and Agriculture and Tbilisi City Hall are organizing a 6-kilometer bike rally for Earth Hour called Connect to Earth from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Lisi Lake. On Sunday the 25th at 1 p.m., there'll be a birthday celebration for Johann Sebastian Bach in the garden next to the opera in Tbilisi, organized by Bach in the Subway. There'll be a number of musical performances. On the 26th at 3 p.m., the School of International Relations at Tbilisi Free University will host an event to celebrate Francophone Day called Georgia in France. The event will include film, songs, and discussion about Georgian immigrants. The French ambassador will be present. There are other events for Francophone Day around Tbilisi as well. On Thursday the 28th, the International Center for Archaeology will host their third scientific conference of young archaeologists starting at 2 p.m. Students from universities across the country will participate, and the second edition of the journal Archaeology will be presented. Also on the 28th, Tbilisi Georgetown University's Maria Amilcheva will present On Diplomacy in the Black Sea Region from Karlowitz to Paris, 1699 to 1856, as part of the Works in Progress series with the Eurasia Partnership Foundation. Next Thursday, the 29th, the Georgian Foundation for Strategic and International Studies, or the Rondelli Institute, will host an English language panel discussion called European Security in 2018, A Look from the Baltics. In Tbilisi at 6:30 p.m., former Estonian Prime Minister Taavi Roivas and director of the Estonian School of Diplomacy will speak. And the Rondelli Foundation European Studies Center director Kaja Gogolashvili will facilitate. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK, Tango, X-ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tepealpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tepealpod.com. And from Los Angeles, 1983, this is Wall of Voodoo and Mexican Radio.